Well, it's great to be back with you again tonight. And I must again add to what your minister has said, the boys and girls, mums and dads, we really enjoyed being here and we really were blessed through all that you've done. And I could almost hear the big sighs of relief as the boys and girls got back down to their seats. And even bigger relief from all the workers and the Sunday school teachers. And you know, you have only 364 days before you do it all again. And we trust that these boys and girls will have been a blessing to your soul already tonight. I can remember whenever I was a wee boy and having to stand up here on Children's Day, and it's not easy. And I can remember doing something that the boys and girls didn't do. I remember getting my piece all wrong. You see, I had two verses to learn of a poem. And the poem was about David and Goliath. And I was so nervous and so in fear and trepidation that I had David cutting the head off Goliath even before he hit him with the stone. But there was none of that here tonight. Another thing I want to add is this. It's nearly time that the church here had some of these young lads full time on the offering. It's the first time ever I've seen a steward running with the plate up those stairs to this side. And we need more enthusiasm like that. We might have to sack the ones on this side, for they let an awful lot off. But however, we'll not let that happen again. Now tonight I have brought a bag with me. And before I show any boy and girl what is in this bag, I need you to face me, to fold your arms, and sit up really straight. If you want to see what's in this bag, and there's a lot of stuff in it, you need to sit up. You need to fold them arms. This morning I was looking out for a nice new watch, and I didn't get one. But tonight, I'm looking out for a nice bracelet for my wife. And I need the boys and girls to fold their arms so that I can see what you've got. Now, you sit up nice and quiet. I'm waiting for you. And we'll see what's in the bag. Now, I have in my bag here someone who I love to bring to the children's meetings. And love to bring to services like this. You see, this is Gordy the gorilla. Now somebody a lot smarter than me said to me one night, that's not a gorilla, that's an orangutan. But I couldn't think of any names to rhyme with orangutan. So he's Gordy the gorilla. And I was telling Gordy today that sometimes the boys and girls weren't folding their arms. And he said he'll come tonight and show you how to fold your arms. And if you can fold your arms better than Gordy the gorilla, well then you're far better behaved. He's going to fold his arms right now. You watch him. And this is how he folds his arms. That's how you do it. And now they'll not come undone. You make sure you have your arms folded as tight as that. And we're going to set our wee friend over out of the way in case he falls down there and gets hurt. Now, with some other stuff in the bag. And the second thing we've got in the bag is this here. It's a big loaf of bread, that's right. I think somebody has been eating at it. There's not as much as what there should be in it. Now, I want you to sit up and fold your arms and listen, because this bread is very important. In fact, I'm putting it away because some of you look very hungry and you might want to start your supper early. But boys and girls, this bread is something that I used to love Mummy bringing out. Because what happened was, she used to bring the bread out. Because we were going somewhere. We were going to feed the ducks at the duck pond. That's what we were going to do. We were going to feed these boys here with the bread at the duck pond. Now you sit up now and don't talk. let the cat out of the bag. And I used to love going to feed the ducks. You would go there with your bag of bread. And by the way, mums and dads, bring more bread. You never bring enough bread to feed the ducks. It always runs out far too quick. And you used to break off wee bits. And you would throw it into the pond. And before you know it, there'd be ducks quacking everywhere, coming to get the bread. Now, maybe where you live there is no duck pond. And you might do something else, because there's another thing that we used to do in the winter time. Are you listening? Shh. There's always one heckler, isn't there? What? We used to feed the birds in our garden. Now, I would say some of you boys and girls might even have a bird table. But we used to love to feed the wee birds in the garden. Just before school time, we'd break off a few bits of bread and we would throw them on the back garden or in the yard and tiptoe into the house and peek out the window before we were sent to school to see if the wee birds would come. And my, they would swoop down and they would peck the bread. Boys and girls, mums and dads, wouldn't it be very funny tonight if the birds came and fed you and me with the bread? Instead, wouldn't that be funny? That would be the strangest thing. And that's exactly what happened in our Bible story tonight. Now you sit up and listen, because just before we get there, I want to speak about something else. I want to speak just for a minute or two about sin. Yes. And we have some pictures here. I want you to see them. I want to speak tonight for a minute or two about your sin and about my sin. And can I tell you tonight, are you listening? Fold them arms quick. Sin is not just some little black dots on a lovely white background. It is not. According to the Bible, God's word, sin and sinners are wicked. And their deeds are evil. And the Bible tells us that all have sinned. Every last one of us. And the Bible also says that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But here's the funny thing, boys and girls, mums and dads. We always seem to think that somebody else's sin is bigger and badder than ours. Isn't that funny? Isn't that strange? Oh, we're quick to point the finger. Tut, tut. Look at them ones. Not the organist now, but just that way in particular. Or look at that boy there, or that girl there. Look how bad they are. I'm not like that. Oh, we're quick to point the finger. And you know, whenever we make plenty of excuses for our own sin, all we do is deceive ourselves. Do you make excuse for your sin, boys and girls? I know that in our house, very often, the excuses are made. All of a sudden, the kids become deaf. I didn't hear you. All of a sudden, they didn't know. I didn't know. Excuses for being disobedient, for doing wrong. You know, sin in the world today has been glammed up. It has been prettied up, and it has been made something that it isn't. Do you know today, no longer do you hear people saying that people tell lies? No, they just told a wee fib. It was just a wee white lie. No, today, just to pick for another example, the old gambling. People don't see that today as an ungodly vice. It has come out of the casinos, by the way. It's in your petrol stations. It's in your shops. It's in your supermarkets. It's just a wee flutter. It's just a wee bit of fun. But it's a vice and a sin. And it's wrong. Oh, you would say to me, but oh, look at the lottery. Look at the money it gives to charity. Can I just add there, isn't it very easy to give away the millions of pounds belonging to other people? Yes. What about that old curse of drink? And partying, and living in wild excess. The excuse is, today, we're just living it up a little bit. We're just having a celebration. My, everything's a celebration, isn't it? You're not 16. Celebration. Get the drink bottles out. Get the party started. 18, 21, pass your driving test. Get married. Everything's an excuse for sin and excess and drinking. And without going into detail, the adults here know where that leads. Great immorality. Great despair. You see, sin is made out to be something that it is not. And my, we need to know what the Bible has to say about sin. You know, God's Word doesn't categorize your sin and my sin as being big or small. You know what the Bible says? The Bible describes our sin as many. That's what the Bible describes. Our sin as many. I wonder how you see your sin tonight. And yet the wonderful thing is this. Despite all of our sin, despite the fact that our sins are many, despite the fact that our sin is offensive to God, He's still willing to forgive us. Isn't that wonderful? He will cleanse you from the stain of your sin. That can only be done through the precious blood of our Savior. Without the shedding of His blood, there is no remission of sin. And we have a wonderful example of that in the Bible. You see, in the Bible, in the New Testament, there was a young lady. And this young lady, her life had been wrecked with sin. In fact, she was known in her community as a woman of ill repute, a terrible sinner in her district. Everybody knew all about her. And she came and she sat under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. She felt her load of sin and her shame because she too had sin and her sins were many. Her tears fell on the Savior's feet, boys and girls. Can you just imagine that? She was truly sorry for having sinned against God. And with great humbleness, she wiped the Savior's feet with the hair of her head. And my, she sought forgiveness from the one whom she saw loved her. And as she sat at the Savior's feet that day, the Savior spoke words to all that were about Him. And He said this, "Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Listen, thou gavest me no kiss." In other words, not one of you showed me any love or affection, no endearment upon me, but this woman. This woman hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven. I want to tell you tonight in very simple terms, your sins which are many can be forgiven. But I want to point out to you another man. Here he is here. And this man is in sharp contrast to what we see in this woman. You see, if you want to read about this man, you get your Bible out. It's in 1 Kings 16. And you'll hear of this man. He's a king. King Ahab. He too was a very sinful man. Listen, boys and girls. His sins were many. You know what the Bible says? He did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Now listen, there was no excuse for this man behaving like this. Did you know that? He had been born into a land that had been blessed greatly by the sunshine of God upon it. You know, many of his forefathers were godly men. We have the same privilege today. I'm sure there's one in this meeting. And you remember a dear old aunt or an old grandmother. And when you went to visit her, what had she done? She had been found sitting with her Bible open. Tomorrow I'm going to a funeral to bury an uncle of mine. Here's his testimony. I remember visiting him, and the first thing I saw was that old man sitting with God's Word wide open, matter who came through the door, reading and cherishing and drinking in God's Word. And maybe there's an adult here and you have a mother like that or a grandmother like that, and yet today, the God that they love means nothing to you. You've gone away from those things. We're glad to find you here tonight, but we would implore you to follow after the God of your forefathers. This man didn't do it. Didn't follow after the God of his forefathers. He had made excuses, and he should have had no excuses for behaving in such a sinful manner. In fact, he was privileged to have godly men come and minister to him. Do you know tonight, in this town of Portadown, there are godly men standing in pulpits such as this, bringing God's Word. Do you cherish that? Do you thank God that you have a man that is willing to take the scourge of the world and bring forth God's Word in faithfulness? This man had this privilege as well. A man by the name of Elijah came personally, spoke to him about his sin. Do you think that this king listened, boys and girls? Not a bit of it. Fold them arms. You're not even looking at me. I know I'm not pretty looking like, but don't worry. Fold them arms. He never listened to one bit of it. My, he wanted to go on the sin, and here's even worse. He took his people with him. They said, if our king doesn't keep the Lord's day, neither will we. If our king sees no need to worship God, neither do we. If our king doesn't want the commandments, neither do we. Is this not the way it is in our land tonight? From the top down, turning away from God and the people following. Elijah, you see, had been praying. He had been crying unto God to step in and put an end to this sin of this king. God heard that prayer. God sent him to Ahab with a message. Here's the message. King Ahab! This is what he said, boys and girls. Because of your sin, there will be no dew upon the ground to wet it. There'll be no rain in heaven for many years. Because there's going to be a famine. Because of your sin. Now, you think the king would have taken heed to that, but he didn't. You think he would have come to his senses, but he didn't. Think that he would have sought God for mercy? No, he did not. And you know, boys and girls, as soon as Elijah proclaimed that message, God whisked him away, because God was not going to allow anyone to now help this rebellious king. And those people would fall into judgment. And the days passed. I'm sure old Ahab soon forgot about that message. Nothing was happening. Everything was fine. Famine? No famine. But let me tell you, the days turned into a week. Still no rain. Yes. And the weeks turned into months. The months turned into years. Still no rain. I'm sure at the early part of it, old Ahab would have looked out the royal palace window. It'll rain tomorrow. But it never came, boys and girls. And my, so severe was the famine that many, many people died. Death, listen to me, was not going to be the final punishment. Oh, the earth had become dusty and hard and barren. The animals first died, and then the people suffered. And because of lack of food and water, they too began to die. But listen, death, and this is very important, wasn't going to be the final punishment for them. You see, listen to this. Death was only going to be a gateway through which they had to pass before finding out what God's real punishment for them was. Then and only then would they know of the terrible punishment that God has in store both then and tonight for those who would rather go on in their sin. We want to tell you tonight, we have another picture to show you. We want to tell you tonight that the Bible makes it abundantly clear that all those who die in their sin will be lost forever. The Bible warns us tonight of an awful place called hell. We don't say these things in an arrogant way tonight. We say them in love. You might say to me, this is not the material that you should be using in a Children's Day service. These are not the words that you should speak in this place. That is not appropriate. Can I tell you, it is most appropriate. I learned a lesson a short time ago, sitting in the garden trying to learn a few verses, enjoying the sunshine. My study was interrupted by little birds just chirping. Chirp, chirp, chirp. Chirping to another one, chirping to another one. Then as I began to read again, my thought was taken away from me a second time. Because this time on the spouting at the side of the house, there was a wee bird and it wasn't going chirp, chirp, chirp. It was going mad. It was chirp, 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 chirp. And then I spotted it. Hadn't seen it up to then. Out from under our car came this great big cat. And every now and again it would just stop. And it would look up and it would despise that little bird. Because that little bird was giving clear warning of the danger that lay ahead for the other little birds. And tonight, in faithfulness, we warn you that God will punish sin. He'll punish your sin, and He'll punish mine. But let me ask you tonight, what kind of meeting would it be if we closed just now? If we bid you farewell and went home, telling you that you will be lost in your sin? Wouldn't be much of a meeting, would it? Can I tell you tonight, this is the news of the gospel that we're going to tell you now. You see, our story doesn't end there, boys and girls. We have more. You see, although God came in judgment upon those who were steeped in rebellious and sin, not everyone was punished. Everyone deserved to be punished, but not everyone was punished. Not everyone died in this dreaded famine. Not everyone were lost. Some were God's children. Some had asked God for forgiveness. Some were trying to live for God as they should. And one of those people was none other than this man here, Elijah. He didn't die. God, in fact, took great care of him. Remember earlier on I said, wouldn't it be really funny? Wouldn't it be strange if the birds came and fed you and me? That's exactly what happened to Elijah. God made provision. God had hid him away, you see, beside a little babbling brook called Cherith. There he provided water. Twice a day, the big ravens, you see them birds there? They're ravens. They came. And those ravens brought flesh and bread for Elijah to live. Now we could tell you, speak much about these ravens tonight, but we just want to leave one thought with you about these ravens. Boys and girls, if you like to read about nature and about birds, you'll learn that the raven isn't a very good mum and dad, you know. The raven would hardly bother feeding its own young. Never mind come and feed a full-grown man like this. But God's hand was in it. Yes. You read your Bible. There in Psalm 147, you'll hear all about the raven's young crying out for food. And yet God used the ravens to feed this man here. You see, the thing is this. Whenever God steps into the situation, whenever God saves a man or a woman, He always does it in a most remarkable way. And our God today has not changed one iota from Elijah's day. He's still saving souls from death and from destruction. And he's here tonight. And you're here tonight. And he's pressing you about your sin. Now I can tell you all about different sorts of sins. We've talked about a few tonight. But I don't know your sin. But God knows your sin. And we would trust that the Holy Spirit would speak to your heart about your sin this night. But more than that, that the Holy Spirit would speak to you about righteousness. Not your righteousness. Not my righteousness. For we don't have any. But that he would speak to you about the dear, sweet righteousness of his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible tells us that God spared not his only begotten Son. The young ones were singing about it tonight. They were quoting it from God's word, telling us about the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came and died for our sins. One way, God says, to get to heaven, Jesus is the only way. One way, no other way. You know, the book of Romans puts it nicely, and we've written it down here, and it's this: but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I find that hard to take in. As I lived my life against God, as I hated him as a young boy, as I rebelled and didn't want to come to services, as I withstood the correction of my parents. You know, I was such a bad wee boy that whenever my mother used to beat me, I would make out that I would never cry. And no matter how, she would walk away rubbing her arm before I would give in. Rebellion. And as I lived in sin, even as a wee boy, throughout all that, if only I had really known, while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. He did it for me. He did it for you. It's a personal, personal thing. And my, there's another little verse there in Acts 8, and it tells us of the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ to die. My, how often we're coerced into doing things. We don't really want to do it. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he really wanted to do it. He really wanted to die for you. And we're told there in Acts 8:32, he, that's the Lord Jesus, was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb before his shearers, so opened not he his mouth. If you've ever had the opportunity of seeing a little sheep being sheared, and if the one doing the shearing is a bit rough and they would nick into the skin and the blood would flow, do you know, boys and girls, that little lamb or sheep won't make a noise. Absolute silence. And so it was with the Savior. As they drove in the nails, as they pierced his side, as they put that crown upon his brow, as they mocked him and spat on him, as they did all those things, he opened not his mouth. There's a wee hymn that says he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world, but he died alone for you and I. Think of that tonight. And then very finally, there's a question I want to ask you. It's found in God's word. Hebrews 2 and verse 3. How, boys and girls, shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Here's the answer. You'll not. Boys and girls, our time's up. We want you just tonight, as you go home, tomorrow and the next day, the next time you go and feed the wee ducks, or you go out to feed the birds on your bird table, I want you to remember this famine. I want you to remember that God sent it because these people wanted to continue on in their sin. But I want you to remember that God also spared Elijah in a most remarkable, miraculous way. Sent them big ravens to feed him. But most of all, boys and girls, mums and dads, I want you to remember that God loves you. That's three little words, but it's a way beyond my ability to explain them. God loves you tonight. And he has proved it by sending his own Son to Calvary to die. And you need to come tonight and trust in Him as your Savior. We trust tonight that you will come, that you will have heard His voice, that you will be saved. Wouldn't it be an awful thing tonight if you were to leave this meeting and I was never to see you again? Do you know there's boys and girls here and I will see them again one day? We'll meet in heaven. We'll rejoice together. But you could leave here tonight and go on in your sin. I know boys and girls who have come to our little children's meetings and they've grown up and they've gone away and we don't know where they are today. Oh, but trust that you'll not be like that. Trust that you'll come. God's word says, behold now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We urge you to come. We urge you to be saved tonight before it is forever too late.